Well, how about the Trumpster doing the right thing? I love it. I love it. I love it. Good to be with you. Happy hump day morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. Yeah, Donald Trump has canceled his January 6th press conference. It was announced yesterday, and I am all here for that because there was just never any upside to Trump doing something like that. There was no upside. It was going to be a media trap, and they were hoping whatever Trump had said tomorrow in this press conference that he was planning to have, whatever he was going to say, they were going to try to make news for the next month, I would say, at least 2 weeks, to take away from the failures of the current administration. So Trump wisely, or someone around him, or people around him, wisely pointed out that this was a trap. The media was so desperate. They so wanted Trump to be out there tomorrow giving a speech on January 6th and taking questions from the media, cornering him, and doing what they do best, which is frankly just talk about Donald Trump so they don't have to talk about what actually is happening right now in the country that's, you know, hurting American families. That's what the goal of tomorrow would have been. There was no way that that would have worked out in Donald Trump's favor. So yesterday, Trump sends out an email through a statement that says, quote, "In light of the total bias and dishonesty of the January 6th Unselect Committee of Democrats, two failed Republicans, and the fake news media, I'm canceling the January 6th press conference at Mar-a-Lago on Thursday, and instead, we'll discuss many of those important topics at my rally on Saturday, January 15th in Arizona. Dash, it will be a big crowd! Exclamation point. Guy hasn't missed a beat. He really hasn't missed a beat. Goes on to write here, what has become more and more obvious to all is that the lamestream media will not report the facts that Nancy Pelosi and the Capitol Sergeant-at-Arms denied requests for the D.C. National Guard or military to be present at the Capitol. Their emails and correspondence with the Department of Defense exist, but the media won't ask for this evidence or report the truth." He goes on to rip Adam Shifty Schiff, as he calls him, crazy Nancy Pelosi, some more very Trumpian statement, if you haven't seen it. And I'll put it up shortly here on my Facebook page. Search Pete Mundo, KCMO, you can find it there. But for Trump, this was going to be a chance for the media to bait him into 2 weeks of stories that they could use to avoid talking about inflation, gas prices, lack of COVID tests, whatever it might be, crime. This was going to be their way out of having to talk about the news. I mean, they're still trying to do it this week, and tomorrow, I guarantee, is going to be wall-to-wall on most TV channels talking about January 6th, and Biden's going to give a speech. I mean, Biden, the guy rarely, although he spoke yesterday, I got some gems from that, but the guy rarely speaks, but don't worry. Biden and Kamala both speaking tomorrow on the one-year anniversary of January 6th, the riot at the Capitol. So they're well prepared for big speeches tomorrow, even though, like, you haven't even seen Kamala. What's she been up to? Does anyone know where she's at, what she's been doing? But don't worry, she'll show up tomorrow, I'm sure, for her big speech. But this was a sign, too, to me, that Trump is more serious than I ever thought he might have been about running in 2024. Because if Trump just looked at this and said, hey, I'm going to let it rip, I'm giving a speech, I don't care what the haters, what the lamestream media, whatever you want to say, whatever, you know, however you want to refer to them. Yeah, exactly. That was a way, all right, to say, you know what, I need people, and this is the reality. If Trump's going to run in 2024, he needs more than just the people who, you know, don't buy the legitimacy of the 2020 election. He needs more than that. He can't win in 2024 on the idea that I'm just going to talk about 2020. He can't do it. So either someone close to him, someone in the inner circle got to him and said, hey, if you're serious about 2024, you've got to have a bigger umbrella, a bigger tent than the audience you're going to be talking to here on Thursday, which is going to create 2 weeks of news media narratives and is, frankly, you know, not going to be good for you. Because, of course, the media wasn't going to treat him fairly, right? But the fact that he stepped away from this and said, all right, fine, I'm not going to do it, and he's going to talk about it next weekend at a rally in Arizona. It's a Saturday night. It's not going to get the attention that, you know, a speech would have gotten tomorrow. There's not going to be media Q&A. It's just going to be Trump riffing. That's very, very different. Very different than what was going to be planned tomorrow, where reporters were going to try to do that gotcha moment to Trump at Mar-a-Lago, make him look like a fool, and then run with it for 2, 3, 4 weeks. But he realized that he's got to speak to more than just the choir, right? And here's the other thing I'd love to see Trump do as he goes on to talk about this, you know, and if he's going to talk about, which he's going to talk about, the 2020 election. The thing he should be talking about above all else, right, is the Mark Zuckerberg $400 million, the founder of Facebook, and the $400 million that he spent to help Democratic get out the vote operations. Like, if you want to talk about any influence, outside influence on the election, that's a legitimate one. And Molly Hemingway wrote about that in her book on the 2020 election. Like, that's something that you can concretely talk about, point to, and bring to the forefront, something the media really hasn't touched on. But if it was going to be down the rabbit hole of Rudy Giuliani and all that stuff, then, you know, that wasn't going to bring anybody else new to the conversation. That wasn't going to be good for a theoretical 2024 campaign. That wasn't going to do the trick. So I was thrilled because, you know, I was nervous. I was nervous on how that was going to go tomorrow. I did not like the direction that it potentially was going to take because, you know, we've seen these things unfold before, right? Think about what they did to Trump with that Charlottesville press conference, where they completely took the words out of context, lied about it, and still lie about it today. Still do it. Still part of the conversation when they talk about Charlottesville. There would have been moments and plenty of opportunities for something like that to take place tomorrow. And now Trump is saying, we're not doing it. Now, I've seen a lot of media folks share this and say, I knew Trump wasn't actually going to do that. I knew he wasn't going to actually go ahead with this. They're trying to bait him. They're trying to goad him to do it still. That's what they're doing. I knew he was not going to go ahead with this. They're challenging him. That's what they're doing when they say that. They were all on pins and needles. They were like little school kids on the first day of school preparing for this thing tomorrow. They were so desperate, so juiced for it to take place. And now it's not, and they're crushed. They're absolutely crushed about it. And I'm glad. I don't know about you, 5767710. I am thrilled that this is not happening for Trump's sake, frankly. For Trump's sake, that is not happening. Let Joe Biden give a speech. Let Kamala give her a speech. Let the media wax poetic about it. It'll be old news in 24 hours. That's what'll happen. It'll be old news in 24 hours. The text line is 816-576-7710 as we kick off a Wednesday show here on KCMO Talk Radio. Coming up next, are there local officials who actually want to shut down schools here in Kansas City? I'm starting to believe that there are, and I'll explain who and why. Coming up next here on KCMO. So the Trumpster cancels his January 6th press conference. That came down last night. I'm all here for it. By the way, friend of the show, Bill O'Reilly, took a little credit for it. You can see that on my Twitter last night. But Bill tweeted out, looks like Donald Trump took my advice about the very risky January 6th press conference. He's canceled it. I'm like, all right, I don't know if it was all Bill or who it was, but whoever it was got to Trump, and I think it's a great move. Great move. But I think Paul in Kansas City's got a different take on that. What's up, Paul? Good morning.
Hey, P, welcome back. My take is on it that you have to go no further than go to the gym and watch CNN and MSNBC on exactly what they were going to do if he had that conference on today. You watch their spin on that January 6th, what I committee, if you want to call it. Be generous and call him that. They were going to set him up for that and big time. They would have rolled out after that. So I think strategically, great move on his part. Bait him a little bit. then pull back, fall back for a better day in a military term, and then fight, live to fight another day, which he will in Arizona.
So did you think, Paul, are you saying that you thought Trump was always going to cancel this at the last minute?
I really do. I don't know why. I think he sees MSNBC and CNN. He watches the media all the time. That's his forte. I think he watches what they're talking about. Every morning you watch Scarborough, and he's just having a fit over this thing. And same thing with that guy on CNN when I'm at the gym about, oh, geez, here we go again. So I think he baited him in, and they were just chomping at the bit, ready to come after him with all their guest hosts and McCabe from the FBI, blah, 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 all that stuff. So I think he baited him. I really do. I think he was savvy on that piece. And I think that's why they already had Arizona, because logistically, Arizona already had to be set up. They already had to have that set up. So I think he already knew he was going to Arizona a week afterwards. But
Paul,
one more point, Pete.
Can I ask you something? Why does your gym play CNN and MSNBC?
They do. Well, they put Fox on, too. So, I mean, they are.
Well, I mean, mine plays ESPN all day in loop.
Yeah, they got ESPN, too. They got ESPN. MSNBC. Unfortunately, the only treadmill that I get seems to be planted right in front of Scarborough. I don't know why that is, Pete. I got to look at Scarborough every day. I'm like, oh my gosh. I just run faster, Pete. I just run faster to get off of it.
That'll get you pissed. That'll get you moving.
It does. Just one more thing. Let's never forget Ashley Babbitt. I haven't heard the January 6th of Scarborough. Anybody talk about Miss Babbitt? Let's not forget about her on that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
I'll leave it at that.
All right there, Paul. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
I can't get over that. He's got to go to the gym and look at Joe Scarborough. I'd find a new gym. All right. That's what I'd do. All the TVs at the gym I go to are ESPN, wall to wall. Once in a while, some naked old guy will throw on CNN in the locker room. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? I mean, and usually he's not packing much, if you know what I mean. It just seems to be like, I don't have any data on that. It's kind of anecdotal, but it's always a guy who's not packing much who flips on CNN in the men's locker room at the gym. I'm just saying. It's kind of weird how that works. Always an old guy, not much happening, decides to throw on CNN. I guess, got a lot of white guilt or something. Not sure.
What a nice guy. What's the Trump drop there?
Such a nice man.
There it is.
There you go. There you go. Totally anecdotal commentary, but does seem to be true, all right? And I'm fine when they just leave it on ESPN. I mean, ESPN's junk, but I'd rather that than, have to walk in there and they got CNN or MSNBC on. Once in a while, they turn on CNBC, which I'm also okay with. Just run down the markets. That's fine. That's fine. Oh, gosh. All right. So this headline yesterday from the Kansas City Star, we know that the Omicron variant is spreading like wildfire, right? Thankfully, it's far more like a cold, far more like a flu, far less deadly, far less severe in every way, shape, and form. But this headline yesterday from the Kansas City Star read as follows. Dangerous moment, : officials question how KC schools can stay open amid COVID surge. And I'm thinking to myself, but before, I'm not going to, read the whole thing to you here at all. But it cites a bunch of people, Steve Stites, chief medical officer at the University of Kansas Health System. Thinking to myself, do you guys at all do anything outside of focus on how kids cannot contract COVID-19? Do you do things like look at the fact that suicide attempts for girls aged 12 to 17 are up 51% over the last 2 years? Do they care about that? Do they think, or are they just saying, oh my goodness, we've got a bad cold spreading all over these schools with the population that thank goodness, is least impacted? And you guys seriously want to have a conversation, and the Star is going to do its fear-mongering. The Star is going to push its propaganda of we're all going to die and the kids are all going to die. And thank goodness that's not reality. All right, it's not. But I just wonder if they look at everything through the prism of simply a kid getting a cold instead of looking at the well-being of an entire school population, whether it's in Blue Valley, Olathe, Liberty, Lee Summit, Kansas City, doesn't matter. Do they look at anything beyond kids contracting potentially a bad cold? And by the way, a lot of them are asymptomatic too. I just don't know. We have, and I think it's fair to say, we should have such little faith. I mean, these people in public health have done so much damage to their own credibility over the last nearly 2 years. Whether it's Dr. Fauci, whether it's, you know, Rex Archer here locally, former health director in Kansas City, Missouri, who's just a guy's already thinking about Thanksgiving 2022. It's
Thanksgiving.
Oh, gosh, he loves.
Boy, oh. I love Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving. People like that. The people quoted in this article here saying, Steve Stites, chief medical officer, University of Kansas Health System, this is a dangerous moment. You want to keep schools open. How are you going to do that if everybody's sick? Well, okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't want everybody to get sick. But shutting down schools cannot be an option. And guess who else is saying that, by the way? Joe Biden's saying that. Joe Biden, the president, yesterday held a press conference. Not really a press conference, more of like a Q&A type of deal. And he even said the kids have got to stay in school this winter.
Schools can and should be open this winter. We have all the tools to keep kids safe. Unvaccinated kids are at risk, yet the vaccinated are going to have a way to protect them. Get vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, get boosted.
So there you go. That's Joe Biden yesterday saying the kids have to stay in school. I mean, we read to you yesterday a great, I mean, it's a sad piece, but a very good piece from the New York Times of all places saying that what we're doing to our kids is no way to grow up. And it reads here in part, American children are starting 2022 in crisis. Children fell far behind in school during the first year of the pandemic, have not caught up. Many children and teenagers are experiencing mental health problems, aggravated by isolation and disruption of the pandemic. Suicide attempts are up. Gun violence against kids has increased. Social isolation has caused a lot of problems. Behavioral issues are on the rise. Yet these doctors here in Kansas City, and the Star props them up like there's God's gift to medicine, are out here saying, I don't know how we keep these schools open. No, you keep them open. You have to keep them open. That's what you got to do. There's no choice anymore. There's simply no choice. 5767710. Coming up next, more on the testing debacle, and the Royals make a big cancellation. That's next. So let me ask you, you find out that your kid just got the COVID-19 vaccine, but you didn't know about it. And not only did you not know about it, but the person who administered it was a teacher at her home. Yes, this is a real story out of Long Island, New York. And I'm going to play the TV package for you here. And then I've got to get your reaction at 5767710 on what you would do if you found out. And I don't mean to laugh about it because it's not a laughing matter, but it is just so bizarre. Like, to think that a teacher invited a student to her home, which I'd like to kind of know what that was all about. All right, we can dissect and dive into that more here as the story unfolds. But a 17-year-old boy goes to a female teacher's home. Yes, yes, you're hearing that right. And she injects him with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Here's the story from NBC in New York.
There you go, at-home vaccine.
At-home vaccine. That's how this video, obtained exclusively by News 4, starts. It ends with a woman giving a 17-year-old boy whose face we have obscured what is believed to be a shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. Police say they arrested 54-year-old Laura Russo for administering the shot from inside her Seacliff home.
It's a very, very curious situation.
Curious because Russo is not a medical professional and not authorized to administer vaccines. She's a science teacher at Herricks High School.
I think it's ridiculous. I would never, ever give a vaccine like in a living room. Like, that's unheard of.
Ms. Johnson.
Yeah.
In the video, they mention it's a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The FDA has reserved that for people 18 and up, not the only reason the 17-year-old shouldn't be getting it.
Besides being illegal, it's just not a smart thing to do. An authorized, licensed professional should be providing vaccines to know how to give them properly, to make sure if there's a complication that can be dealt with immediately and very efficiently. And you have to make sure you know what you're giving.
Police say it happened on New Year's Eve around 6:30 p.m. and done without his mother's permission or knowledge. She notified authorities.
I think it's rather irresponsible, you know, taking that responsibility into your own hands, not being administered by a medical professional. It's a little bit, you know, short-sighted.
Russo was ticketed for unauthorized practice of a profession. The Herrick School District, where she works, said in a statement, the individual in question is a district employee who has been removed from the classroom and reassigned pending the outcome of the investigation. Authorities are now trying to find out how she was able to obtain the vaccine. A friend in the neighborhood cautioned, there's more to the story we just don't know.
I think we should wait and see what happened. Yeah. And, you know, let the courts or whatever's going on, let them decide, and then people can make a judgment.
Russo declined to speak to News 4, but she did get a desk appearance ticket and is expected to be back in court in late January. Reporting from Seacliff, Paisley Cheng, News 4, New York.
That is unbelievable. I mean, you as a parent find out that your kid got a COVID-19 vaccine without your approval and without your knowledge from a teacher at her house on her kitchen table. Like, what? First off, what is a 17-year-old kid, Mark, doing at a female teacher's house?
Yeah, I have questions about that.
You think?
And I'm just glad he wasn't giving her a shot.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. How did she did they answer how she got the shot? I had to answer a phone call.
Well, that's another one too. How did she get her hands on it? No one knows that yet. School nurse, but even the school nurse, like you can't, as I understand it, Mark, I mean, you tell me, you've got elementary age kids. I don't yet. But you've got to like sign off on the school nurse giving your kid Tylenol, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. They can't give him anything. They can't give him cough drop, anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless you give him the permission.
I mean, I get it. It's CYA. Everyone's covering their butts. And attorneys, God bless them, but, you know, they can ruin things sometimes. So, I understand having to basically sign a waiver that says, you know, you can give my kid a cough drop or whatever it might be. But that's not something right now that, at least in this story, appears to be the case. You've got somebody who literally got a COVID-19 vaccine. So if you're a parent, right? I mean, there's so many questions here, to Mark's point, so many questions. But if you're a parent and you find out that your kid just got the COVID-19 shot, and you're like, wait, from who, where, what, how? And you find out it's from Miss Sally, the history teacher. And you find out not only was it from Miss Sally, the history teacher, but it was from Miss Sally, the history teacher, in her personal home. You are beside yourself, right? I mean, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
You don't know what's going on. You don't have a clue. And you're sitting there and you're saying to yours, and by the way, how dumb is this teacher to let another person videotape it? Like, you heard it there at the beginning of the package. How insane is this woman? This woman has no business being around kids. No business whatsoever being around kids. The fact that she let anybody else even videotape it, which is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, gosh. The text line is 816-576-7710. On the text line, Pete, the cops better make it to the house before me. That's right. I bet. Sandy's in St. Joe. What's up, Sandy? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Well, my first thought was a 17-year-old boy in a teacher's house reminds me of Mary Kay Letourneau, and I'm wondering what else went on that kitchen table. You know? I mean, why is he even in her house?
Sounds like you're already writing the script there, Sandy. Sounds like you might have seen this movie before.
Yeah, I kind of heard it. So anyway, it's just totally whatever. It's just set up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
insane.
It sure is.
Teacher, yeah, she needs to just get her hands back into the little rat lab, I guess, or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, that's just my thought.
Take care there, Sandy. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Oh, goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. Good morning, Pete. I'd be in prison for a very long time. Very long time. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Oh, the text line. Pete, I think the injections may have gone two ways. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy. Alex Overland Park. Hello, Alex. Good morning.
Hey, Pete. So I'm a nurse, so I'm kind of like laughing and crying at this whole story at the same time. I mean, the thing is so ridiculous, but I want to know what the kid's COVID card said, right? Because you get your little card after you get your vaccine. Did it say, like, Mrs. Russo's Kitchen? I mean, the whole thing is just so stupid. And for this woman, I mean, she might have been a lunatic anyway. Who knows? We don't know much about her. But she just flushed her career down. She's going to be facing criminal prosecution by probably multiple outlets, you know, whether it's the state practicing as a healthcare worker without a license. The parents can prosecute for some sort of assault. I mean, I don't know what this individual is thinking. And I would like to also know whether or not the kid was even really given the COVID-19 vaccine, or this was like some weird lure to her house and she had like normal saline in there, or I don't know. It's going to be an interesting story to follow.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Do we even know what the heck was in it? I mean, you know, we're being told it was a COVID-19 Johnson & Johnson shot. Can anyone confirm it right now? We can't, right?
Right. Yeah, and so I'd be curious to find out more about it, but there's one thing is for sure, that there will be an investigation and she will be charged with something. We just don't know what it's going to be at this point. Because even if she made it sound like she was giving the COVID-19 vaccine, the fact that she was impersonating somebody who was licensed to do so, she's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, as she should be. Well said there, Alex, especially with the nurse perspective. Nice job. I mean, That's a very good point. This lady is facing a world of legal troubles. World of legal troubles.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
As she should. 5-7-6-7-7-10. But, I mean, like, the fact that anybody thinks that that is in any way appropriate, like, I can't wrap my head around it. Yeah, come on over here, little Johnny. Come on over to my house today, right after school. Get out at 2:30, see you there at 2:45. Come on over. I'll shoot you up with a little Johnson & Johnson, all right? And then you shoot me up, and away we go. We're off to the races. I mean, come on. This is just creepy. I don't even think we've scratched the surface on this story. 5-7-6-7-7-10. Oh, goodness gracious. We'll get to you with this coming up here on KCMO. Well done on the text line. This story, this story, I'm not making it up. I played the whole package, no pun intended, of the student who ends up going to his female teacher's house and gets injected with the Johnson & Johnson shot. All right? on the text line. Pete swapping Johnson for Johnson and Johnson. Okay. All right. There you go. Well, the wise guys are out and about, or wise gals.
I'm just glad that it wasn't, maybe it's just me being a dad here, but it wasn't a female at a male teacher's house.
That's you. I mean, listen, you and I both have two daughters, so I think that's us probably being biased about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll say this as well about this story. Like, I don't get in 2021 how any student ends up at a teacher's house. I don't. Like, I don't know about you. Did you ever do that back in the day, Mark?
No.
Okay.
And also, they videotaped it, which is...
Yeah. So stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
You know it's going to get out if it's getting videotaped.
Oh, of course. Of course it's getting out. Unless the people involved, the other kids videotaping it, and I don't know this for sure because we still have more questions than answers on this story, but you got people videotaping it. Maybe the whole thing was a setup with the teacher. Maybe they played the teacher, right? Maybe they were trying to get rid of the teacher, and they finagled their way to her house and took a COVID shot to get who the heck knows what out of it, but then, you know, get her canned. I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know this. I mean, you know, I know that today's world is different from 20 years ago, and 20 years ago is different from 40 years ago. But I'll tell you what. Like, even 25 years ago, right? 20 years ago. I can't think. I'm trying to think of, like, anything that I did with a teacher. No, this is coming out wrong. Anything I did with a teacher, like any extracurricular after school thing that would even be considered weird today, like 20, 25 years ago. But I can't think of anything. I can't.
The only thing that I can think of that would be close, and it's not even close at all, is when I was on the cross country team and one time I had a hurt ankle, so I couldn't go on the run. I went with my coach in his truck with the water jugs to set up the water jugs down the trail.
Oh, that's nothing.
So yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's just...
I mean, I don't know. Is that allowed today? I mean, to me, that's fine. That's not a big... Especially, you know, two guys, whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
At least it shouldn't be, in my opinion. Yeah. I still like to believe in the goodness of most people. But, yeah, like, I can't think of anything that would be that out of line that I was involved with. I mean, even close to being that out of line. When I was an adult, like 5-6 years ago, I had one of my teachers, we had a big party at the house. And when we got, we were several drinks in, and we texted my high school calculus teacher, and he came by and had a few beers. And that was a good time. But we were all adults. It was no big deal. Someone just got a little loosey with it and said, hey, we got to have over Mr. Smith. You got to invite him over to the house. He still lives in the area. Sure. Yeah. Great. Woo. I mean, that was no big deal. That was fun.
My second grade teacher came to my graduation party, which was kind of cool. I hadn't seen her in like 10 years.
Which graduation?
My graduation party.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, college or high school? Okay.
So
gotcha.
There was nothing. I mean, it was a party with like a ton of people there.
Yeah. That's a nice moment.
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
Not bad or anything.
Well, no one's given COVID shots at these parties, most importantly. I mean, that's just, it's just unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. Coming up, Brenda Talon, Show Me Institute's going to be here, so we'll talk to her. But, you know, I do want to make sure that as we go throughout the morning here, we've been trying to tell you how to get how to find COVID tests, because you can't find any in the area, right? Just can't get them. Well, Joe Biden's got the answer for you here, all right? Yesterday he held a press conference type of deal, and he just wants to let you know that he is on the cutting edge of technology and knows how you can search for a COVID-19 test near you.
Google, quote, COVID test near me. Go there. COVID test near me on Google to find the nearest site where you can get a test most often and free.
Oh, goodness. Google.
COVID test near me.
Test near me.
Go there. Google.
Go there.
Excuse me. Okay. COVID test near
Excuse
me on Google.
Gotcha.
COVID test. Find the nearest site where you can get a test most often and free.
All right, Joe. That's enough. That's enough.
Just boom, boom, boom.
That's enough. Okay. Are you kidding me? Hey, pal, if you do that right now, right here in Overland Park, we're a corporate woods, you can't find one for a week there, Chief. All right? You can't find one for a freaking week. So, I know I'm kind of like, I'm okay on Google. I've used Google once or twice there, Joe. All right? I've done it once or twice. And when you do that here in the area and you type in COVID tests near me, guess what shows up? CVS, Hy-Vee, Walgreens, none of whom have any testing available till next week. All right? So I don't know who he thinks he's enlightening. And why they send him out there? Like, why? What? It's like, oh, gosh, it's torture watching this stuff. I mean, it's funny, but it's also like, holy cow, that's the president. Google, go on your little machine there. Take out the keyboard. Type in www.google.com. And then type in COVID tests near me. Okay, and then when I can't get one for 2 weeks, what do we do about it there, Chief? All right, how are we doing that? Unbelievable. Coming up next, Brenda Talent is going to join us at the Show Me Institute. They join us each and every Wednesday. We got a lot to get into with her. The Missouri legislative session gets underway today. Then it's What If Wednesday to wrap up the hour on KCMO. Well, it's good to be here. Another day, Hump Day Wednesday on KCMO Talk Radio. And as we approach 9 o'clock, yes, it is that time for What If Wednesday. Water.
KCMO 710 AM and 103.7 FM. It's time for What If Wednesday on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
All right, three questions. Normally, of course, John would handle these. And many of you asking about John. John is A-OK. He's going to be back in hopefully the next few weeks. He's doing fine. He still is employed here, and we look forward to him coming back. But in the meantime, Mark, three questions for What If Wednesday. What do you got?
What if Trump had gone forward with his January 6th press conference tomorrow?
The media would have had weeks worth of content. So Trump canceled last night a press conference that he had scheduled for tomorrow at Mar-a-Lago on the one-year anniversary of the January 6th riots at the Capitol. Why Trump would want to bring more attention to that, I don't really understand, considering right now what the attention should be on is the failures of the people and the guy in charge right now. I mean, that's what should be the focus of Donald Trump, frankly, and why he would want to give the media more fodder by doing his own January 6th press conference, I never understood. I just didn't get it. So if Trump had gone forward with it, which thankfully he canceled it last night, it would have been exactly what you would have expected. The media would have tried to bait him into saying things that then they could talk about for days on end. It'd work out for them because they could trash Trump, trash Republicans. They could do all that and also avoid, most importantly, avoid talking about the failures of the moment. Avoid talking about the failures of what's happening right now with the people in charge. So, it was just a very good move for Trump to say, I'm not doing this. I'm canceling it, and I'm not going to get a fair shake. And I don't know why it took him until 2 days before to realize he wasn't going to get a fair shake on this and that this would have been, you know, the media's dream. Literally, the media was salivating at the idea of Trump coming back for a press conference to give light and attention to January 6th. It's so absurd that he would have considered it. So I'm glad he's not doing it. If he had gone ahead with it, it would have been media fodder for days on end. So good thing that's not happening. What's next?
What if it was Trump and not Biden who was short on COVID tests?
Oh, you wouldn't hear the end of it. Like, I literally, you think about what's happening right now, right? There's a million cases of COVID-19 per day. A million cases of COVID-19 per day. And thank goodness Omicron is less severe. That's all well and good. We're all happy about that. I mean, you know, it stinks that it's still here, but it is what it is. And thankfully, this Omicron is much more like a cold, if anything. But could you imagine if, like, here in Johnson County, where you can't get a test at a Walgreens or a Hy-Vee or a CVS until next week, if that was, and you can't get them on Amazon, right? I mean, you can't get them on Walmart.com. I mean, ask anyone who's looked for them. If they come on board, they're unavailable within minutes. People are scooping those things up. And if it was Trump who was in charge still, and it was Trump who people were waiting in hours long lines, you would never hear the end of it. You would never hear the end of it. And instead, want to share this with you.
We're going to make available free tests at thousands of convenient locations for folks to pick them up and take a test kit home. The bottom line, this winter, you'll be able to test for free in the comfort of your home and have some peace of mind.
There is no sign of a letdown, only relentless lines to get tested with an ongoing shortage of COVID tests nationwide.
Long lines of Americans waiting hours for COVID tests.
It's really scary because a lot of places are requiring them, but you can't get them.
There clearly has not been enough testing.
We should have had more tests available.
Joe Biden, he ran on the promise that he would professionalize this COVID response and that there would be enough tests, and that just hasn't happened.
This issue of having tests available to everybody who wants it has been a promise made, but not a promise kept.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And even they're having to, you know, admit as much in the media, but boy, it would be full-blown 24/7 hysteria if the other guy was still in power. That's for darn sure. What's next there, Mark?
Really quick on that one. Some of those lines for those COVID tests, they were saying you couldn't tell if it was a line for the COVID test or people trying to get into Disney World in Florida. Like, it was kind of a mix between the two. And then there was people stuck on the highway out there on the East Coast. So it was like pictures of COVID lines versus all these other lines. It was going crazy on social media the other day.
I saw that. I mean, I had a buddy. He waited 4 hours down in San Antonio, Texas to get a COVID test. 4 hours he sat in his car. I mean, it's just it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And the guy literally ran and said last month, hey, you got to be able to test at home, whenever, wherever, however. And none of that is turning out to be true. None of it. So what's next?
What if the Texas Bowl wasn't on a random Tuesday in January?
Might have watched the whole darn thing. I mean, this has got to be a rule. Last night, K-State, kudos to K-State, by the way, winning the Texas Bowl, beating LSU, very good win. Sending Skylar Thompson out on a high note for his career. Deuce Vaughn's an absolute stud. But I couldn't watch the whole game. Just couldn't do it. I mean, I here's what the rule's got to be. No bowl games after New Year's weekend. That's it. All right? Now, I know sometimes it doesn't work perfectly because of the NFL schedule and whatnot, but the last bowl games should be New Year's Day or January 2nd, assuming January 2nd's not a Sunday or something like that. That's it. I mean, you can't, these bowl games on Tuesday, January 4th, God bless you if you're a K-State fan, by the way, and you went down to Houston, but, like, most people are back to work this week, right, Mark? You can't, like, the whole enjoyment of doing these bowl games is you make it a holiday trip. Have you ever been to a bowl game?
I went to a random Fiesta Bowl one year. My parents lived down in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
My dad just bought tickets. We had no clue who he was going to be playing yet. He just bought the tickets, and it ended up being Texas against Ohio State.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was Colt McCoy was the quarterback at Texas.
Wow.
And I think Terrell Pryor was Ohio State's quarterback. So there were some pretty solid players there.
Okay.
Jordan Shipley, I think, was the wide receiver for Texas at that time. So it was a really good game. Texas came back and won, but it was a fun time. I wasn't a fan of either team, but it was just fun going and experiencing it.
I mean, that's what you do. And then if you're a fan of your team and you go follow your team, you make it like a holiday trip, right? After Christmas, you pack up, whether you're driving or you're flying, depending on, you know, where you live, what the bowl game is. You go make a fun few days out of it. You go maybe see a city you haven't seen or whatever it might be. That's that, like, for a K-State fan, I feel bad because everyone's back to work this week and you got to go to the boss and be like, ah, yeah, can I take off like Tuesday and then maybe also Wednesday because you got to fly back. Maybe Monday so I can enjoy my time down in Houston. Like, that's a tough ask.
Already using up your vacation time for 2022.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What do you get, 2 or 3 weeks? You had to use 3 days in early January on the Texas Bowl? Come on. I mean, God bless you, K-State fans, if you went down there. I mean, that's loyal. I love that. But, jeez, ESPN and the Bowl crew, they've got to do a better job on that. Got to do a better job.
Can we also stop doing college football playoff on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
We need to stop that.
Stop. Stupid. The ratings were down this year. They're always down when they do the playoff on New Year's Eve. It's just, you know, I want to watch Ryan Seacrest. I want to watch Andy Cohen screaming into the microphone on CNN to his boy Anderson Cooper about how terrible Bill de Blasio is. That's what I want to see. All right. So there's your What If Wednesday. But I'll leave you for the hour on this. Something Joe said yesterday as he was wrapping up his press conference. All right, it's a new year, right? Well, guess what?
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020.
Yeah, you heard that right.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020.
There sure is. News is in 3 minutes. We are back with you on a study that should concern a lot of parents. We'll get to it next. So if you're a parent, I'm going to share this study with you. And I just, you know, if you've got kids older than mine, maybe even older than Mark's, you know, in middle or high school, I'd love to hear from you at 576-7710. So here's the deal. Only 1 in 10 teens are getting enough exercise during COVID. Yes, just 9% of American teens are getting enough physical activity during COVID, a new study reveals. Researchers from the U.S. and Canada say that number has fallen significantly from the already paltry 16% who were getting enough exercise prior to COVID. Health experts have recommended that kids get about 60 minutes of physical activity per day, especially in the midst of the pandemic, which has increased the number of habits that both children and adults, lack of habits that adults and children participate in. So we've got a situation where kids are just not exercising. Another one of the many things that have impacted our children negatively due to how we reacted to COVID-19. Notice how I didn't say because of COVID-19, but how we reacted to COVID-19. And I think that's an important distinction to note, right? Like, people are talking right now in the Kansas City area about shutting down schools or something like that, which is completely absurd and insane. And is not beneficial at all to the kids. But for some, they want to keep doing it. They want to keep having that conversation. They're never going to give it up. And the reality is, I mean, when you've got kids here who are already, before COVID, they were not doing enough exercising, right? But now they're doing even less. They're sitting on iPads. They're sitting on iPhones. They're not playing. I don't want to sound like the old man get off my lawn kind of thing. But even I remember, since, you know, even as a millennial, I grew up in a time when you weren't latched to devices. I mean, I loved playing Nintendo 64 back in the day, Mark. I enjoyed that thoroughly, but I still found time to be an active kid. That's what we did. You were outside, you were doing stuff, you were playing football, you were playing basketball, you were doing whatever, you were just outdoors. But now, if you're a parent, like, how difficult a time are you having on this issue? 576-7710. The text line is 816-576-7710. And is it becoming even more clear that the pandemic and our reaction to it has hurt kids, not just when it comes to mental health, not just when it comes to school, but also when it comes to things like their ability to be, you know, get physical activity, right? Like their ability to just go out there and run around and be a kid. That's something that I don't think has gotten nearly enough attention. Because like so many other things during COVID, it was a problem before the pandemic, and then it just got worse during the pandemic. And that's something that should never be overlooked. Just should never be overlooked. No way, no how. And we're sitting here talking about this, of course, in the wake of you know, what's gone on here over the last nearly 2 years. And now you've got, you know, pushes amazingly. And I can't believe we're living through this right now. But you've got pushes from local supposed medical professionals who are actually saying, I don't know how we can keep schools open. Questioning if it's worth it to keep schools open. Steve Stites, chief medical officer at the University of Kansas Health System. He said, this is a dangerous moment, and the star is, of course, pushing all this stuff for him. You want to keep schools open? How are you going to do that if everybody is sick? I mean, I get it. You don't want people to get sick, all right? You don't. But it is the job of the school, because we know that the well-being of having kids in school far outweighs anything else in their lives. That's just a fact. It's a fact, all right? So with that being said, job number one is to keep the schools open as much as humanly possible. And then if you do end up, unfortunately, with staffing shortages temporarily because people do get sick, then you go from there, right? What all schools should be doing is only, by the way, testing teachers or testing students if they're actually sick. It's what the NFL started doing, and it's made complete sense. Makes complete sense. All right, the NFL said, we're done with the testing everybody till the end of time because we're getting all these asymptomatic cases, guys who don't even realize that they have COVID-19. That's not a way to run a business, and the NFL realized that very quickly. I would hope, and I know every school is different, but I would hope that is also an approach that gets taken by any business, but also the schools who desperately, desperately need to be open right now. And if you look at what's happening in Chicago, I mean, it's a mess. The teachers union up there voted against in-person classes. And even the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, who's one of the worst mayors in America, she has warned that she will take action against teachers who refuse to show up to school today. Now, I don't know what that means. She says that they're going to be put on no-pay status. Okay, that's all well and good. But, I mean, this is all unfolding right now, all right? Because the vote came down yesterday. 73% of the Chicago Teachers Union said they wanted to go back to remote classes until the current spike of cases have substantially subsided. How arrogant, by the way, these teachers' unions who demanded that they be at the front of the line for the COVID-19 vaccine. And I was okay with that, by the way. I was fine with that. They're basically frontline workers. They're around the kids all day. It was critical that we got our kids back in the classroom, and they got to the front of the line. Fine. No issue there. But now they're voting to go back to remote when we know the failures of remote learning when it comes to kids? Are you kidding me? This is such a letdown of our children. It is such a letdown of our kids. And when Mayor Lori Lightfoot is on the right side of an issue, when she's the one saying, no, 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 you get back into that classroom. You get back to working. You know that they've gone way too far. I mean, even Joe Biden yesterday during his press conference, he came out and Brandon said it right here. He said the kids got to stay in school all winter.
Schools can and should be open this winter. We have all the tools to keep kids safe. Unvaccinated kids are at risk, yet the vaccinated are going to have a way to protect them. Get vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, get boosted.
There you go. I mean, regardless of what you think about his commentary, he said schools should be open, and schools have to stay open. We're literally destroying our future generation is what we're doing because of arrogance, because of hypochondria, and because we're looking at everything through the simple prism of COVID instead of looking at it through the well-being of the child, the well-being of the kid. And that, it's unforgivable. It's absolutely unforgivable what we've been doing on that front. All right, so a new study showing that less than 1 in 10 kids are getting enough exercise during COVID. The numbers were bad, by the way, pre-COVID. They were about 16%. Now they're at 9%. I mean, if you're a parent, just another thing that you've got to deal with in the fallout from how we've handled COVID-19 with the kids. Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Steve is over in Shawnee. Steve, what do you got with the kids?
Well, basically, I have two boys, 17 and 15. And we try to keep them active even through COVID. And we do scouts. We do, my oldest one does all three. He does football, wrestling, and track. My youngest one tries to dabble into wrestling. The thing about it is it's really, really important, not only for the physicality of my voice, but it's also for the mentality, because it's mental health, and it kind of releases a lot of the frustration that's going on.
Do they go to public school, Steve?
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, are they letting them continue all activities like normal this year?
Well, this year, the thing with the wrestling has been pretty good about it and stuff like that. There hasn't been all this so-and-so got COVID and yada, yada, yada. They're being careful. The coaches are. As far as my youngest one, he's not really doing anything. He's just kind of getting back.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
We need to get the kids physical.
Yeah. No, the kids got to be out. They got to be doing stuff. 5-7-6-7-7-10. That's exactly right. I'm glad to hear, although Steve said, unfortunately, they're in public school. But I'm glad to hear that it sounds like, you know, they're being, I'm not against being careful. All right. I'm not against like taking some precautions, but you know, making sure that the kids are able to be active, do their practices, wrestle, football, like that's critically important for this stage in their lives.
I was just glad at the beginning of the school year, I heard that they weren't going to have to wear masks at recess. That was, you know, positive.
And yes.
Then, my oldest daughter got to do running club this year.
Oh,
so that
nice.
Was fun.
She liked that?
She did. She had fun. I went to the first one with her, and it was a lot of walking more than running on running club. But, I mean, they're third grade, fourth grade, so.
So what do they have them doing? How far are they running by the end of it?
They would go about 2 miles by the end of it.
Really?
So, yeah, it was a pretty good run if they had run the whole thing. But, I mean, it's good exercise.
Were they doing, like, 8 laps around a track, or was there actually, like, a 2-mile kind of course they were doing?
They have a little trail by their school.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they could just run out on the trail, and they have a little mile marker thing. So
is your daughter running 2 miles?
She jogged most of it the day that I was with her.
Okay.
And then
she had to stop for you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You were holding her back.
I was falling way behind. Yeah, so yeah. The second one, she was like, all right, Dad, you can stay home.
Yeah.
I want to walk with my friends.
Oh,
so I got the old, stay home, Dad.
You got the old stay home, Dad treatment. Oh, man. Is there a teacher that's in charge of it?
Yeah, they seem to have one teacher that was kind of the main teacher in charge, and then they had about 4 or 5 helper teachers. So
assistants or whatever?
Yeah, so it was a pretty good group of teachers there.
That's great. I love that. I mean, as someone that ran cross country back in my heyday and track and all that, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. 5-7-6-7-7-10. keep hearing from you, because I know this is an issue that, you know, just another thing that hasn't gotten the attention that it should have gotten over the last couple of years. But I need to see, I want Mark's daughter to be doing 5Ks in cross country in a few years, and I want her setting records in Johnson County, and then we'll brag about her and we'll get her on the show, and you know, it'll be all well and good. That's how it's going to go. I'm predicting it here. Mark's going to have his kid, you know, running 19-minute 5Ks for women, which I think is really good, if I'm remembering that correctly. That'd be really impressive. Oh, gosh. Anna's in Lenexa. Hi, Anna. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Thank you.
What's happening?
I was just, nothing much. I was just calling, so I also think that this is a parental issue, too. That we can't depend on our schools to have our kids be active. So what we did, our kids are involved in competitive soccer. And when COVID hit, you know, in what, 2 years ago, basically, we made it where they had to get up every morning when we got up and they went out for runs. Just, you know, that was for them to do, just to continue to stay active. And both of our daughters just went out for mile or 2 mile runs. And by the end of, by the beginning of this year, when the school year started, our youngest was so excited about running that she joined the cross country team, and she ended up, you know, taking second in district. But it was us as parents saying, hey, you have to still be active, and you just can't sit around all day long, even though there's virtual learning during that time. And we had them going out and going for runs, and they were running with us too.
Okay. So they were running with you. Wow. That's yeah. Great. So, and how old are they?
One is a senior now, and one is an eighth grader. And
okay.
So really our eighth grader was, that was the, you know, our senior had ran in the past, and our eighth grader, you know, she was, it was kind of her first experience with getting out and doing runs. And so her and I would go out, and we ended up, we're able to get to 6 miles now together.
Nice. That's fantastic.
So but it's a parental thing. You know,
yeah.
As parents, I think that we have to also stress the importance of that. And we can't expect our schools to be responsible for that.
I think that's an outstanding point, Anna. I really do. I just think that, you know, for the kids that maybe don't have that discipline that you're providing yours, being around other kids and being active around other kids is a good way for them to be somewhat active if they don't have the household that, you know, you've provided for your children. But you're absolutely right. I mean, number one, it's got to be parents taking control of their house with their kids and not relying on a school or any other governmental body to do it.
Correct.
That's awesome, Anna. It's fantastic. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Anna would be our caller of the day. But remember, the caller of the day has to come before 9 o'clock. It's kind of the rule. Caller of the day has got to be before 9 o'clock because I can't make Anna the caller of the day and then, you know, at 9:30, when we do the caller of the day, have it be her and replay her phone call because everyone just heard it. It's got to be something from earlier in the show. But she's right up there, right? She's right up there. That's strong. Got our kids. That's going to be you, Mark, running 6 miles with your kid here pretty soon, all right?
Yeah, we'll get the mileage up over the summer.
Yeah. What was your best 5K back in the heyday?
Oh, man. I think it was around in high school, it was like 17:10 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. That's so good.
Not
That's
too
good.
Bad.
That's better than me. 17:20 was mine.
Nice. We could have been running buddies.
Could have been. Could have been. That would have been fun. I don't know if your tracks are easier around here or not, but that's probably 17 is probably a pretty good number in this part of the world, right?
Yeah. The state champs were, you know, in the low 16s.
Yeah.
You know, I was our fourth or fifth runner most of the time.
That's what I was. Did the guys ahead of you, did they end up running in college?
A couple of them did. One of them actually ran against me at Baker. I was at Mid-America. We were.
Oh, okay.
I wish John was here. He'd chime in on Baker. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time. We ran against each other in college, and he ended up not being as good in college, so I ended up passing him.
But, how about that? Huh. Where did they do the state meets in Kansas?
They do them at Rimrock Farm in Lawrence, just outside of Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that place.
So, yeah, the college.
They do the NCAAs there, right?
Yeah, the NCAAs are there. We had our league meet there for the Sunflower League.
Okay.
So that was like all the Olathe schools, all the Shawnee Mission schools, and all the Lawrence schools together.
Okay.
And then, yeah, state meet was almost always there. I think they go between there and Wichita now.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
Interesting. Well, if you want to read a good book, the first time I heard of that place, Rimrock, reading this book called Running with the Buffaloes. It's a book about the 1998 University of Colorado cross-country team. Now, it sounds boring, but there was actually randomly a lot of drama. One of the guys died. It was pretty crazy.
I remember that story. Yeah. I don't think I've read the book, but I remember that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, just get out there with the kids. Be active. Maybe not today. Well, you could do it today before it snows tonight. All right. If you're running by my house, don't do that because I got ice at the end of the driveway. It's not good.
Bundle up. Get your hat on.
Just get your hat on. And you'll be good. I mean, you know, my girls are 3 and 8 months. So all I'm doing with them right now is I take them on runs and I throw them in the stroller. I got a running stroller. I throw them in there and they sit there with a little snack and, you know, we have a grand old time. So that's the most I'm getting out of them right now. But it sounds like many of you guys are ahead of the curve, which I like hearing. I'm optimistic.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.